operation or violation might be not so good, for us that might give us a high level.
Well, you always face this problem where sometimes you know what to do, but you can't do it. So you have two levels. You know, you're like, you want to make a decision, so you decide, we should do this, but the next question you have to ask is, okay, this is a good solution, but can we actually do it? So I think probably most of us could come up with a solution, but we may not all of us be able to do take the solution.
Spot on.
That's the whole problem, right? We know what to do, but we can't do it. I can just tell you my personal, there's nothing to do with any of you here, but my personal feeling just in my own life is that for me, to be able to work enthusiastically and cooperatively with other people, I have to mature myself. And sometimes I'd see that I would act like a baby or a child. And I need to be more mature so that I can face some things that aren't the way I like them, but still work through it, not get discouraged. I think a lot of it requires maturity. Sometimes it may not even be so much Krishna consciousness. It's just growing up a little more. So we're maybe don't take things so seriously. And you know, another thing that Prabhupada said, he said, probably like I just said, okay, now you know there should be no personal ambition. Can you do it? That's another thing. But bhakti means you're serving Krishna to please him, not because you want anything personal. Whether it's something physical or something in terms of just your own desire to be recognized by others or have some position, whatever it is. I think that's important. And another thought, which I think about a lot, is that in trying to bring Krishna consciousness to other people, if I can advance myself, that means there's more people that I'll reach. Both reach more people and reach the people more that I'm already reaching. Both things, right? And then if I can work better with the devotees that I'm working with more cooperatively, figure out how to just figure them out, how they think and how they work and how I can fit better with them, that means together there'll be more people to reach. So sometimes when I'm having difficulty working with other devotees, I think about all the other people that are going to miss out on Krishna consciousness if we don't get it together. So it's not just about if I'm happy or I want to do this or I do or don't, but it's, what about all these other people out there? You know. So, and sometimes I think that if we do that, then Krishna will also reciprocate. So, oh, things are going well, you're doing things better, let me reciprocate. I was telling Vasudeva, I was saying that, I don't know when it was, maybe 1978 or so, or around that time, we started a bhakti program for devotees in the temple. So Dhanavir Maharaj came, and he went to the Brahmacharya Ashram. He said, you have to move all the men out of the Brahmacharya Ashram to another place. And he made the whole Brahmacharya Ashram an ashram for bhaktas, and I think there was like probably room for 6 or 8 devotees. So he made sure there were however many beds we could fit in those rooms. I think there were 3 rooms, and then we had 2 beds in each room. So we had 6 beds or 8 beds. Then he said, let's say there were 6 beds. He said, get 12 dhotis, get 12 kurtas, get 6 toothbrushes, 6 tubes of toothpaste, 6 bars of soap, 12 pairs of kopans, like that. And so six sleeping bags, everything. So he had this all filled up, and there was nobody in there. And all the brahmacharis were kicked out, and the whole brahmachari ashram was empty. Six beds, six sheets, six sleeping bags, 12 torches, 12 dhotis, 12 gopins, toothbrush, everything, right? And you might think, this is weird. We spent all this money and time and cleaned all the brahmacharis out, had to rent another place for them, and there's nobody here. And I think the year before, maybe one devotee joined. The year before that, maybe two devotees joined. That year, like 16 people joined. So it was a situation in which we created a facility. So Krishna said, okay, you have the facility. And we had, not only did we have a facility, we had a devotee in charge. So there's a devotee, there's a program with six beds and one devotee in charge and no people in it. You think that's really dumb, right? As a waste of money, a waste of space, and a waste of manpower. And not only that, we had a person in charge of them, but we had a person in the temple to greet guests. When all day, maybe there were no guests. And not only that, we had a room for guests who could stay overnight and a person who would take care of them. Well, I think the person who was in the front of the temple greeting the guest was the same person who would live with the guest and take care of them. So we had two people on that program and nobody in it. And then gradually, Krishna sent people. And it was very obvious to us that he was sending people. They were just coming out of nowhere. So I think it's a nice meditation to say, if we create facility and we, as a team or as a group, are starting to work better together, that Krishna will say, oh, you're working well, you're prepared, so I'll send devotees. I've also seen, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've also seen that some people would join the movement at a certain time, and they'd say, well, I was thinking of joining in this year, but I didn't come. And that was the year there was turmoil in the temple. And Krishna didn't want them to come because they wouldn't have been taken care of. And after we sorted things out, then these people would join. I'd see that. It wasn't like a rare thing. It was quite common. And I could see, oh, Krishna didn't want to bring them in because we weren't ready for them. And he brought them in later when we could take care of them. So as we're more ready to take care of people and we're more in terms of facilitating them, training them, and also how we run the temple, the atmosphere in the temple, then Krishna will send people. So now you're ready, I'll send them. So I think that those are important things to understand. Because sometimes it's hard to work together, but if you think about the reality, but if we don't work together, other people won't get Krishna consciousness, or Krishna won't send them, or he'll send them, they'll leave Mauritius, they'll join somewhere else, or they'll send them to another organization. So then it's an impetus, okay, we should work, even though it's difficult, we should work better together, I should be a little more mature in how I deal with this situation. Because there's lives at stake. So then I was telling Vasudev that when I conceive of programs, I think the smartest way is thinking from the end backwards. So like the Bhakta program, we had the end first. Because normally you think, you go to the president and say, kick all the men out of the brahmachari ashram, we're going to make a Bhakti program. And he'll say, well, when they come, we'll kick them out. But why should we kick them out now? That's the normal way you think. But you think from the back, you think, well, I have to have the rooms and the leader and everything, and then they'll come. So you think from the back forward. Like a lot of times we do festivals, so we preach a lot. But after the festival's over, we don't contact people. We didn't get their name. You think from the back first, what's going to happen at the festival? We're going to meet people. So what should we do? We should get names, or we should advertise a new, you know, Nam Hat in this area, or we're going to do a class, or whatever. We work from the back forward. And I think Krishna reciprocates with that more. Because you're ready for the people. So why is he going to send you if you're not ready? And then us as individuals, how ready are we to set a good example? Now, you want to hear something interesting? In the beginning of the movement, there wasn't any Bhakta program. We didn't even call new devotees Bhaktas. Just call them their name, whatever their name was. That's Joe. Here's Joe. Here's Sam. And so many people were joining. Why were they joining? Could you guess? Why do you think they were joining? There's nobody. I'll tell you something really funny. It's just like so funny. When somebody wanted to join the LA temple, we tested them to make sure they were sincere. And we had an old van in the parking lot that didn't run. And they had, for the first week, they had to live in the van to see if they were sincere. Wow. So it wasn't like, here's the guest room. Nice bed, a heater, air conditioning, fresh water, you know, your own servant will wash your clothes. That's what we did later, because we wanted to get people to join and we wanted to make it easy. But in those days, it was like reverse psychology. It was like, this movement is ecstatic, it's wonderful, it's powerful. And if somebody wants to join, they have to prove themselves. So the point is, the reason they were joining is because the temple was so ecstatic. It wasn't like we didn't have to go out and find people. They'd come to the Sunday feast, they'd see these kirtans. Devotees were ecstatic. So they just want to join. So then we could say, I don't know if you're ready yet. Go sleep in the van for a week. It wasn't like we're so anxious. You know, prove yourself. Funny, but that's what we did. So that's how devotees were made in those days. There was no program whatsoever. If there's difficulty or if there's jealousy, envy, any of these things. One of the ways to look at it is and say, okay, now this is Krishna's mercy because I have to figure out how I'm going to be able to work in this situation and remain Krishna conscious. And if this person is not acting Krishna conscious, I have to figure out how am I going to be Krishna conscious? Because I'm really tempted right now not to be. Because they aren't. And then we have to look at what's my motive? Why am I doing this? Right? At least we're supposed to. So you can, you know, all the difficulties you face, you can just think, wow, this is really good. We can work it out. We're going to advance. Or you could say, the only way to work it out is to advance. So we were talking today. A lot of problems in our movement is because devotees are still on the Kanista platform. They haven't got to the Madhyam. And then on the Madhyam, they wouldn't have those problems. So sometimes the solution to a problem is just everybody become a little more advanced in Krishna consciousness. And the interesting thing is, you might say, but I'm not yet on the Madhyam platform. But you can act on the Madhyam platform even when you're a Kanishtha. You can act like a Madhyam, you can think like a Madhyam, and then someday you'll always be on that platform. But when you're lower, at least you can act higher. So do I want to go up to the person I'm envious of and encourage them? No. I want to take a hammer and knock them in the head. I'll feel better if I do that, right? But I'm going to elevate myself from where I am, and I'm at least going to act that way because that's the right way to act. So even before I'm on that platform, at least I can act on that platform. Maybe someday I will actually be very happy that I lost the marathon. But I'm not happy today, but I'm at least going to act on that platform. So that's the challenge, right? My response is maybe from here, but I can come up higher to the Madhyam platform, a lot of the problems we have, they'll go away. Now, who wants to think this problem is because I'm a Kanishtha Bhakta? Nobody wants to think I'm a Kanishtha. Prabhu, you're a Kanishtha. You don't call me no Kanishtha. I'm no Kanishtha. How dare you call me a Kanishtha? What right do you have to call me a Kanishtha? Because you are. Right? So who wants to be called a Kanishtha? It's like an insult, you know. Well, the greatest insult you could make is to call a devotee a Kanishtha. You're just a Kanishtha. Useless. You're a useless Kanishtha. Don't even look at me. But sometimes our behavior is like a Kanishtha, so we just have to say, I'm a Kanishtha. I'm acting like a Kanishtha right now. Right? So you come to the Madhyam, things are easier. We're easier to work together on the Madhyam, right? We did an exercise in the workshop. For those of you who weren't there, you partner up with a devotee and you tell the devotee, I'm right. And the devotee tells you, I'm right. And you get in a big fight. About, you don't know what you're even fighting about. Pretty interesting, huh? Isn't it? Kali Yuga. You don't need anything to fight about to fight. Just fight. It's Kali Yuga. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. You're not right. I'm right. You'd be surprised. Some devotees really get into it. Like, slow down. So what are you fighting about? I don't know. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. It's just that need to be right. The need to fight. That's Kanishta, right? Fighting, separate, party consciousness. Oh, it's all Kanishta. So you, as you advance in devotional service, you rise above it. So ultimately, the answer to your question is, how do we do it? We advance. We become to the Majjhima platform, and then it'll work. What do you think? Does that make sense? Okay. And the Majjhima platform is defined as when you're on the Nishta platform. You're not burdened by anarthas, so your service is motivated solely by the desire to please Krishna. It's not motivated by anything else. You just want to serve. That's the Majjhima platform. I just want to serve Krishna to please Him. In this position or this position, whatever position Krishna gives me. We were having class this morning, we were talking about how sometimes Krishna may put you in a very high position. You say, now you have to become the guru, but then you're in this high position. But you're only qualified to be in that position if you're willing to be in this position. Then you can be in this position. But if you're only willing to be here, you're not qualified. You have to be willing to be here also. Then Krishna can use you anywhere He wants, here, here, or here. If you're only willing to be here, that's a problem, isn't it? Does that make sense, everyone? Okay, now we just have to do it. You know, this Course in Humility, it's all about how you can feel bliss while being insignificant. The bliss of insignificance. You know, that doesn't work with material consciousness. That only works in spiritual consciousness. You can be an insignificant nobody and feel completely blissful and happy. Material consciousness is you got to be somebody big, then you're happy. So if you're willing to be small, then Krishna can use you for something big. But if you're only willing to be big, then your service is not motivated purely. Because I'll serve if I can serve this way, but if I'm down here, forget it. I'm going home. Going home, don't talk to me. Don't call me. I'm not doing it. Right? So now that I've given this lecture, we've assigned all of you to clean the toilets at the temple on Sunday. So you can have some nice humble service. We were talking the other day about how Prabhupada cooked for everyone and then he washed up and cleaned the plates. Because they were all new devotees. So he didn't complain. Hey, I'm the guru. I don't clean plates. It's not my job. It's nice, you know, because if you're willing to do something insignificant, Krishna can give you a lot of significant service because He'll trust you. Easier said than done. But you know, as part of the process that Prabhupada gave us, even if we can't do it, He always told us what it is we have to do. He never said, Tamal Krishna Maharaj once gave a lecture. Everyone in the temple was in their 50s in Dallas, Texas. And around Dallas, all the devotees live right around the temple. there's two blocks like this, and they have all practically own all the houses on those two blocks. At this time, everyone was in their 50s. Their kids were grown up. So he gave a lecture on Vanaprastha. He said, okay, now it's time to retire. Just wind down. The whole lecture was on Vanaprastha. 45 minutes on why you should take vanaprastha, why you should wind down, simplify your life, become more renounced. At the end of the lecture, he said, I don't even know why I gave this lecture, because none of you are going to do this. So Prabhupada's principle was, he would tell us, this is what a pure devotee is. You know, and like, how long does it take to understand? Pure devotee is compassion, he's kind, he's humble, etc., etc. Purely motivated. And you hear it, and then what happens? You just go about your normal activities with your normal consciousness. Then you fail, and then you hear it again, and you fail, and you hear it again. But Prabhupada's program wasn't, I'm going to stop preaching about this because you can't do it. He never said that. He just kept preaching it, right? Because you have to hear it, and over again, and hear it. No, this is what I'm supposed to do. I can't do that. How can I encourage somebody like Kunti? I hate him. Can't encourage him. But you hear it. No, that's what I'm supposed to do. And you hear it again, and you hear it again. And someday you start to think, well, maybe that's what I should do. And someday you start to think, maybe that'd be better if I did that than, you know, hate him. And that someday could be 40 years after you've heard it the first time. That's just the way the process works. So we can't stop hearing. You know, you just have to do it. Right? And someday you get to this point in your life and say, I think I would like to change the way I deal with people, or change the way I think. But it might take that many years, right? Or lifetimes. You want to hear an interesting story?
Yes.
It's really, it's a commentary on the story of Daksha offending Lord Shiva. And in the commentary, it's not in Prabhupada's commentary, it's another commentary. Daksha took birth again. You know, he offended Lord Shiva and he said, please forgive me. Got back, he got a goat head. And then he took birth again as Daksha. And Narada Muni came along and created problems for him, stealing away his sons. And he offended Narada Muni. And so in the commentary, it states something very interesting. It says, when he offended Lord Shiva, he apologized, but he didn't fully apologize. So he still had something in his heart that he was holding on to, and said, that's why in his next life he offended Narada Muni, because he hadn't purified himself. Isn't that interesting? It was a carryover, it wasn't completely purified. So what's so interesting is that in becoming Krishna conscious, we have to get purified of all these things. And if we don't get purified in this life, we just, you know, next life. It's not like they're going to go away because you're taking another birth. Another birth just means you have a better chance. You're starting, you know, without a handicap. But it's still there. You have your nature, right? Just like you all your children, they have their nature. They're born as devotees, but they have their own obstacles. Because those were obstacles from the past that they didn't rid themselves of. So I think it's important for us when we find it difficult, say, I just can't give this up, or I just can't think this way or have this attitude, and say, that's fine, but you're going to have to deal with it in the next life. Don't think it's just going to go, I'll just take birth, you know, my parents will put me in Gurukul in Mayapur, it'll be a breeze. No. Whatever you didn't, on earth, you didn't deal with, you're going to be dealing with them in the next life. So might as well do it now, right? Why wait? That's what I tell the youth. Oh, I always tell the youth that. We had a Japa workshop with the youth. And I gave them all these teachings and I said, if you don't apply these teachings, you're going to be at the Japa workshop in the year 2065 because you're going to take birth, come back, and you're going to have to learn these things again. And it made sense to them. They got into it more. They said, yeah, it's true. And if I don't learn it now, when am I going to learn it? I'll learn it in my next body. So it's not, don't think that it just goes away. I'm going to become free from envy. It's just going to happen. It's not just going to happen. You have to work on it. Right, Kuntaya? He's such a nice devotee. How could I be envious of him? So everyone, please rise to the Madhyam platform. And on that platform, all your problems will be solved. One big happy family. But on the Kanishtha platform, wow, get out your guns. The wars are all on the Kanishtha platform. The hugs are all on the Madhyam platform. And the ecstasy is all on the Uttama platform. So, what should we do? Take prasadam? Yeah, late night meal. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Let's welcome my old friend Mukta Purush.
When I was sitting in his
lecture,
he used to say,
there was
one boy was sitting,
where is
Babyface now?
Babyface Vishnu? Ananta Vishnu. Who knows Ananta Vishnu?
Yeah.
I used to call him Babyface Vishnu, right?
He's one of the devotees we kind of lost.
Yeah, I heard.
He was coming to the temple some days. Yeah. He used to come, and I... for festival.
Festival.